Alabama and Tennessee's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three. Welcome, welcome, welcome to hour number three on a Friday. Well, so there's a Friday segment we do every week. And I'll tell you, it's sponsored right now for you by Inspire Advisors. Inspire Advisors, I'll tell you more about them in a few minutes, but the sponsor segment we do is called JP on Sports. All right, so in case you didn't already know, JP is like a guru on sports. I'm talking about all things sports. Name a sport, he can do something on it. So JP on Sports weekly. He also, oh, by the way, does it in two segments. The first is called the three and out. We do the top three stories as he sees it. Then there's the two-minute warning. That's 2 minutes per story running through the final segment. By the way, he has the best sound effect of all of them, courtesy of Sorority Girls at Auburn. Hit it, man.
JP on Sports!
All right, JP on Sports. So, three and out. Number one, what you got?
Well, we'll move through the first two pretty quickly here, since the third one's the meatier one, the meatiest one.
Meatiest.
But college football, great SEC weekend. Bama at South Carolina, Auburn playing Arkansas, Missouri and Vandy, Ole Miss and Oklahoma, Texas A&M going to LSU. If you want my upset pick of the week, I think LSU comes up with a win against Texas A&M at home. But the Bama-South Carolina game as well has got some eyeballs, considering Alabama just came off a big win against Tennessee, going on the road to South Carolina against a South Carolina team whose record is probably a lot worse than South Carolina actually is. So there's been some worry that the Alabama will overlook South Carolina on the road. They still got Lenore Sellers, which is still very, very good. And then Auburn and Arkansas, if you want to ask me, this is the game Auburn can easily win and get back on track. But also, I think you stated it earlier that there's not much expectations from Auburn fans so far right now. Hugh Freeze has been on the hot seat, so we'll see. We'll see if he can get things back on track with an interim coach, Bobby Petrino at Arkansas. But this is the game if they're going to have a get-right game, it's this one. So.
Okay, and quickly, we're eight games. This is game eight, right? So we're
Was a game eight for Auburn. I think it's technically week 10 or week 9, one or the other, week 9 or 10.
And we have how many weeks left?
Well, there's each team, I believe, has 12 games.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Coming down into it.
Okay. All right. That's one. What's two?
MLB playoffs. We now have a World Series set, the Blue Jays and the Dodgers, which I believe the series starts this weekend. I don't have much hopes that the Blue Jays are going to be able to beat the Dodgers because first game's tonight, actually. The Dodgers are just so good. Shohei Ohtani has proven to be...
Wow.
If we didn't know it already, he's just proven that he is, in fact, the greatest baseball player ever.
Goat.
Because as a starting pitcher, he had 10 strikeouts, and then as a hitter, had 3 home runs.
In one game.
All in one game.
Wow.
Which is like alien, unheard of, insane. People like to point out Babe Ruth as a guy, he pitched and hit, but he never did anything like that. So I don't know. We'll see if the Blue Jays can get hot and pull off an upset. But if you ask me, I think the Dodgers get this done and maybe a gentleman sweep. Maybe the Blue Jays can get one, but the Dodgers are just too loaded. They're too good. So hopefully I'm wrong, because if the Dodgers win, then I'll be very unhappy.
Ohtani was having some trouble in his personal financial life for a while there. Has he gotten that cleared up?
Well, so it actually wasn't him. It was his translator. Translator was actually stealing money from him to gamble.
Oh, that's right.
Stole millions of dollars. His translator actually was arrested. I believe he's serving 7 years in prison. So that has all been handled, and also he's back healthy after having Tommy John last year, so he's back to pitching and hitting full time, and you just see what he did, and like 10 strikeouts, 3 home runs, insane. So yeah, we'll see if the Blue Jays can pull off a miracle.
Okie dokie, that's two. That was fast. What's three, JP?
Man.
Good Lord.
The layered story here of the gambling bust in the NBA.
Oh, wow.
So there's been two separate operations here that have now had indictments, which, by the way, can I just say the two names are perfect? So there's the operation that caught the illegal rigged poker games that Chauncey Billups, the head coach of the Trailblazers and a former basketball player, was being used by the Italian mafia to lure in high-value players and high-value just citizens in general to play these rigged games with X-ray tables – and apparently cameras and contact lenses and cameras on hidden trays to, they can tell each round which one is going to win, and apparently stole tens of millions of dollars from people and the victims. So the name of that operation was called Operation Royal Flush, which is great. But then there's also the operation that caught Terry Rozier for apparently rigging games. And so there's one game in particular in question where he went out early in the game, 9 minutes into the game, with a foot injury, when he apparently told others beforehand that he was going to be going out early in the game and to bet the under on all of his statistics. So wow. The winnings were then $200,000. And later that day, after the game, a truckload, or it was maybe not that same day, but nonetheless, a truckload of $200,000 went to Terry Rozier's house, and he profited off of leaving the game early. And I'm seeing here footage from the game of him grabbing his foot, and then he soon left the game. So that operation, by the way, was called Operation Nothing But Net. So
Operation Nothing But Net.
So two great.
Well, they netted him.
Yes, they did. Two great names, but it's... it's insanity, because apparently this has been a year-long investigation, and just now the first day of the NBA was the day before these indictments happened. But I do want to play a quick little quip, and I'll cut it off whenever I feel like the gist of it has been covered. But Stephen A. Smith,
oh wow,
went on First Take the next day and talked about how this is President Trump coming for revenge, because all the NBA and its left-wing activism, he's coming for revenge, and then other sports leagues are next. So I'll let Stephen A. Say the rest.
God almighty.
Many times, for one incident after another, have I said, Trump is coming. He's coming. I'm going to say it on national television again.
What?
Bad Bunny is performing at the Super Bowl, and all of a sudden you hearing ICE is going to be there, looking to engage in mass deportations. The Super Bowl, disrupting things. Big night for the NBA. Wembanyama put on a show. That has now been smeared, because we're talking about this story, okay? Remember, Trump has a long, long history connected to the world of sports, because he had those casinos. Where do you think folks were coming half the time? I'm not talking about individuals. I'm talking about the culture.
So Stephen A. Smith,
wow,
decided to see use this as this is Trump getting revenge. And by the way, Stephen A. Smith is kind of positioning himself for some sort of run in politics, I think. But
the investigations began way before Trump.
Exactly. The investigations have been years long. The investigation actually started in 2022, which who was the president then? It was Joe Biden.
Well, the auto pen was.
The auto pen was, yeah. So, and Cash Patel actually went on Fox and hit back at him and said how stupid that comment was. But this operation, it's crazy. I don't think there's ever been a widespread gambling bust in professional sports like this was. There were some instances like Pete Rose, which, by the way, he as a coach bet on his team to win, completely different than players leaving games early and then profiting off of it. And also, apparently the NBA knew about the Terry Rozier incident and buried it. Apparently, Terry Rozier...
I heard for that.
There's been some reports that apparently the NBA knew about this beforehand. I think it was Windhorst, who is an ESPN journalist, said this. Apparently, the rest of the season, Rozier was out for this alleged injury, which was fake, obviously. Some speculation has been that Rozier was actually serving a slap on the wrist suspension for the rest of the year. Don't embarrass the NBA. Don't say why it is. Just consider this your punishment, and then we can move on, which makes it even worse. If the NBA knew about it beforehand, which, like I said, reports from Windhorst, for example, are suggesting that's the case, it's not a good look. Not a good look at all.
Not a good look at all. Now, let me ask you this. There was something about Rozier, who was texting people saying, bet on the unders, I'm going out in 9 minutes, at the nine-minute mark. But was he texting – he wasn't texting other NBA players or other NBA officials, was he? I mean, he was outside his own loop or what?
No, yeah. From what I've seen, he was just texting gambling or my friends to go and place money for him.
Still, my gosh.
$200,000, yeah. It's – I don't know. This is going to be a big story for a while, but like I said, Stephen A. is already running to make this a Trump thing and not the NBA got caught.
What's the status of he and what's the Trailblazers coach name again?
Chauncey Billups.
What's the status? Are they on suspension right now? Or are they?
They are on unpaid leave currently. Yes. Oh, so wow. While the justice system does its job. So we'll see.
Well, I tell you what, we've got a sound clip that we'll do later after the next break. If we have time, we'll do it. Charles Barkley had some thoughts on this. He took issue with one of his fellow commentators who was trying to kind of play this down as like, you know, it's a gambling addiction. He wasn't going there. But he also pointed out in those comments, Rozier was making $26 million a year. Why would he do this?
For $200,000.
Yeah, he got $200,000, but he was making $26 million a year. So what's the deal?
That's like, what, a month of his normal paycheck, $200,000? Like,
that's not even a month.
Yes.
I mean, think about it. He's making $2 million a month to get $26 million a year. Good Lord. All right, that's it. That's the three and out. That's round one of JP on Sports. You guys, what a story. We come back with the two-minute warning. I had to think. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. Pulling pins on truth grenades. Giving you all the truth you can slap on a bumper sticker. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Did I get them all? Bulletproof influence.
There you go.
Thank you very much. Now I'm complete. All right, we're round two of JP on Sports. We call this round the two-minute warning. He's got 2 minutes per story to just run the gamut. And I've got a timer and a buzzer. So 2 minutes, go.
Well, this just adds to the credibility of Auburn fans and their disapproval of the officiating in their games so far this year. Because veteran SEC official Ken Williamson has been permanently suspended, a.k.a. fired, from officiating conference games from after the Auburn-Georgia game, which he was the head official of. If you remember, that was the game where there was a lot of controversy from the quarterback Jackson Arnold for Auburn. Looked like he crossed the goal line on a goal line stand, but the ball was called as a fumble, or the call was a fumble before he crossed the goal line, and then Georgia ended up with the ball. And then there was also the controversy with Kirby Smart saying he was clapping when he was actually calling a timeout. So Georgia got a timeout, but then got a timeout back, so it was a lot of stuff that went wrong in that game that he was the head official of. But apparently there were 11 complaints against Williamson and his crew during that game, and 9 of those complaints were validated by conference officials.
That's overwhelming.
Yes, but also I will add that apparently Ken Williamson told the SEC before this season that this was going to be his last season and that he was going to retire. So,
well, guess what? He's retiring.
He got an early retirement from that. But it was just, I think it was not only the missed calls. I think it was how they went about it. I think they could have probably been a bit more, open to, because there was footage of the Auburn AD on the field, getting in their face, and Hugh Freeze following them to the locker room, getting in their face, and they were just kind of giving them the cold shoulder, not even talking to them. It probably could have been done a better way. So I think that's what a lot of those complaints were. There was probably a lot of stuff other than missed calls. There was probably them being rude, not being very professional as a crew, which probably led to this early retirement from Ken Williamson. But like I said, that on top of the Oklahoma game where the SEC came out and said that they got one call wrong, the trick play that was a touchdown that shouldn't even happened. Auburn's gonna have one go their way eventually. I just hope it's not the Iron Bowl.
Well, I hope it's not the Iron Bowl. I mean, I hope it is the Iron Bowl, but I hope we don't wait to the Iron Bowl to have one go our way.
Yeah.
All right, that's you came in. Oh, I forgot to tip the. Okay, you actually went overtime on that one. Holy cow! All right, reset the clock. Go.
So this is a crazy story. Another instance of college sports and where we're at right now. Apparently, G League players, which is the G League is the NBA's minor league. Apparently, G League players are now being recruited and coming into college sports after playing several years in professional basketball. So apparently, this Louisville, I believe, was the team. Yeah, Louisville signed London Johnson, or he's now committed. He's yet to be signed, but he is 21 years old and spent last season in the G League with the Maine Red Claws. And so now the NCAA actually put up a statement and said that many schools are recruiting and enrolling individuals who have competed professionally, including many with experience in international and domestic leagues. It says that each player situation is unique, and these issues arise at a time when NCAA eligibility rules are facing repeated lawsuits, yada, yada, yada. So pretty much saying that this is allowed, this is legal. But they also said that they're going to take some years away. So like London Johnson will be 21 years old, so he'll have 2 years of eligibility left. But the point is, these kids get to go and play with men, grown men, professional basketball.
And get paid.
And get paid. And then, actually, I'm going to come back and play college basketball with a bunch of kids who haven't done that. And I have an extreme advantage. And I have not only gotten paid before, but now I get NIL money. This just needs to be banned. Like, if you're going, you can either go to the G League out of high school or you can go to college out of high school. You can't do both. You can't go to the G League, come back to college. It's just not allowed. But the NCAA is now saying, you know, there's nothing against the rules with this. You can make certain rules just for college basketball and not other sports. I think that's fully allowed. So
I guess we got 15 seconds. So what happens if, like, back in the day, if, say, Michael Jordan had decided to go back to school to get his master's? Could he get some eligibility time, or did he already burn all his time? I mean, I don't know. What if they really did play like upper, like level NBA level ball, and they want to go back to school now? Can they play?
It looks like the NCAA is saying there's nothing against the rules right now.
All right, there you go. All right, that's the first one. Clear the clock. Second one. Clear the clock and start the clock. Go.
AJ McCarron is running for lieutenant governor, and it's pretty. Look. Think about this. We could have a Tommy Tuberville, AJ McCarron, governor and lieutenant governor, Auburn football coach, Alabama quarterback, and then potentially Paul Feinbaum running for Senate. I think college football just means a little bit more in Alabama than other states if these people are entering politics. Listen, Wes Allen is, and we talked about this yesterday, that Wes Allen is a great candidate. He is the front runner and should be the front runner because he's got a conservative street cred to fall back on, and he's been there, done that, and he should be the front runner, like I said. The question is, if AJ McCarron were to somehow pull off a win, and then there's still some time before the election, a lot of time, but if he were to somehow pull off a win, I think that sends a message in terms of it doesn't even matter about your political street cred. It doesn't even matter about your conservative background. If you're a name ID guy and you play college football, if you play college sports in Alabama and everybody knows your name and everybody likes you, that's really all that matters in state politics, apparently. And I wonder if that's – I don't know. Personally, I worry about these guys. And I'm not saying this is the case with AJ McCarron, but there's an Alabama deep state. And I wonder if these effective candidates like Wes Allen, other folks out there, if they see these effective candidates that are going to be possibly put in certain positions and guys like AJ McCarron are then recruited to go into the race so that they can, you know, they can go in and then AJ doesn't know much about politics. We'll tell him what to do. We'll tell him how to go about things. He'll do things the right way. He's a good candidate.
Wow. Well, we'll see. But I heard the other day, too, he just registered to vote for the first time. That's a bit unusual. That was JP on sports. We blew through it, and we didn't even get to the last buzzer, but you were almost there. Good stuff, man. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.